This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new production studios designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are, and this is just going to really, really blow you away, a teenager solves a car blind spot using a webcam and a projector. We've got a story about Apple committing $2.5 billion to combat California housing crisis. Got a story about the Internet Archive is making Wikipedia, quote unquote, more credible. And believe it or not, should not come as a shock, ISPs lied to Congress to spread confusion about encrypted DNS. So says Mozilla. I want to welcome you to episode 1403 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, November 4th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. We are live on GeekNewsCentral.com/live or on Facebook. We are on just about every social media platform there is. We're on Twitter, Twitch, Mixer. We're also, of course, on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. If you want to join the commentary where I'm watching the chat room, join me on Facebook. Just search for my name. And, of course, we definitely want to welcome everyone that's checking in. And we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Jim, hello. James, hello. Thanks for being on the show, watching the show. Hey, I want to give a second here and tell our new listeners to make sure they get over to geeknewscentral.com. That really is the place that you need to go to get subscribed to the show, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android, Stitcher, by email, or via an RSS feed. This is the place that you go to get subscribed to the show. You can also sign up for the newsletter when you're on the main page. Again, come over to geeknewscentral.com to find all the great content. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com. And really, that's a great place to go as well. Or you can use your smart home device to listen to the show. All you have to say is the keyword to launch your smart home device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack or on Discord. We're three different places where you can hang out. The Discord channel continues to grow. And that good link is in the show notes. It'll get you over there. Of course, you can contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter at Geek News. Again, you can follow me on Facebook. The partner shows are a link to geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week Review by Kirk Corliss, the Gadget Professor with Sir Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my team, the new media show hosted by myself, my co-host, Mr. Rob Grilley, and the now pod-faded podcast Legend Show. Of course, you can always pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. You can pick up all kinds of great deals over there. All my promo codes are available. Again, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase of $499.com, $1 a month economy hosting with the first year with a free domain for $12, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting again for the first year with a free domain, again for $12. These are the best deals. There's no other deal like it available anywhere on the internet to get a managed or economy hosting account for the first year for $1 a month and includes a free domain. So $8.49 is what a normal domain costs or normal .com. What does that leave you? Leaves you just pennies to get started, really, with a new website. And pick up a new newertransfer.com. This is for new customers, that $4.99 deal. And if all else fails, 30% off new product purchases. That's another way to save if you're already a customer at GoDaddy and you can't take advantage of my any other deals. But again, these economy hosting and managed WordPress hosting, those are deals that are available even if you're an existing customer. You can start these new hosting accounts up, and they make it simple, very, very simple to get started. And again, these promo codes keep this podcast online and my independent writing team employed. Again, you're supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of our promo codes. And I want to thank you for your support, but share these codes with your friends. Make sure that you tell them to subscribe to the podcast as well. Get some value. And also at the same time, we hope that you'll share the codes again, link to them, link to the webpage, talk about it on Twitter, talk about Facebook. When you do that, and a friend or a family member or a cohort react, it's just like writing a check to the show. So please think about that when you're out there, and we definitely appreciate it. Hey, Skip, how you doing, Mike? Boy, man, I haven't seen Skip. How you been? So some folks from the Navy days showing up. Hello, hello. Anyway, so everything's good here. And again, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the podcast. And lots to cover tonight. So let me give you a little bit of rundown. Again, thanks, GoDaddy. And I'll give you a little rundown of what happened this weekend. I literally moved 200 feet from my small apartment to the loft. And I'll have some pictures soon. But I'll be honest with you, 2,000 square feet of open loft space. It's beautiful. I could almost go deer hunting from the back window, but I don't think the game warden would like me shooting a deer from the inside of the house out the back window. Probably, I think there's probably a law against that. But I was, you know, Sunday morning looking out the window, and there was, of course, the field that is behind me. I'm not legal to hunt in anyway, but nice buck roaming back there. The Bushmaster would have took him out easy, but anyway, so, but 2,000 square feet, beautiful area, beautiful. It's really, really nice, and I got more room than I will ever need, and it looks pretty empty, but I have it sequestered off to make it nice and cozy, and the furniture is a mix match of everything. I'm trying to dude it a little bit, trying to make it look more like a guy lives there, because my mom and my sister decorated this place before. So some of the stuff is like, that's got to go. That's got to go. No. Yes. Yeah, that's good. This is good. You know, so over time, I'll make it my own. But you just admit, you know, here's the thing. When I was in the what my mom calls the New York apartment, she had everything in there. It was set up that it was basically move-in ready. I didn't need to buy dishes, didn't need to buy forks, knives, spoons, spatulas, you know, all that stuff. And this other one doesn't have all that stuff. So I was making a trip to Kroger and a variety of different places and picking stuff up. And so at least I have the essentials now. It's kind of funny when I think about it. But just the stuff you need to kind of live day to day. And you keep thinking, you go to a drawer and you open it up like, there's no steak knife there. And just that kind of an idea. So Saturday did the new media show, of course. But it was kind of funny. After I got everything set up, we got the TV put in. That it took 20 hours for the Apple TV to update on my whopping 12 megs down, 3 megs up. But actually Sunday night, I was able to watch some Netflix for the first time since June. Something I wanted to watch, wasn't really sharing with my sister's kids or anything. So that was kind of nice. And so far, and I got Google TV set up and or YouTube TV or whatever they call it. And then, of course, I've got HBO Go. And I have Netflix and Amazon, so I think that'll satisfy me. All cord cut here, but at 12 megs down and 3 megs up, it's kind of painful. Hey, I want to remind you all, I've been putting an address in the show notes, and we've had a couple of the fans take me up on this, and I'm going to up the game here at Dragon Con. Hey, Leland, how you doing? And if you're watching on Facebook, please make sure you say hello. We definitely want to hear from you, and say hi. If nothing else, just check in if you're in and out. If I can quit moving the screen around, let me touch there. There we go. So at Dragon Con, one of the guys came up with some cool cards. And I got my own action hero card, I guess, for podcasting. So I've got a limited number of these cards. And for those of you that are listening, talks about my podcaster. I'm a one-star podcaster, but it's only because I've been at DragonCon 1 year. Talks about hosting Blueberry Hall of Fame, Geeky. So it's kind of a cool little card. So I probably got about 10 or 15 more of these I can give away. And this is kind of a project. If anyone wants to come up with a project to create some cool swag giveaways like that, if you guys, you know, Sam or any of the folks that are out there, you guys come up with any cool album art or anything that's, you know, that we can turn into some swag to give away. Don't forget, I've got stickers as well. But I got a little care package. If you send me a self-stamped addressed envelope, I got one today from Spain. So I'm going to send some stuff back to Spain. But if you want some of this stuff from the show, you want some swag, just drop me an email, or not an email, self-stamped addressed envelope, and then I'll fill it full of goodies and maybe even a button or two and send it back to you. So again, the address is in the show notes. That's in there by default now. So take advantage of that to get hooked up. Okay, so anyway, that's what's going on. I was stick fork in me last night because it was a busy weekend. And then today, full business day. I didn't check email Saturday and Sunday. And to give you how bad my email was, it took me to 1 o'clock this afternoon to catch up. I had 367 emails in my inbox that came on Saturday and Sunday, business emails. And about 400 that came into Geek News. It was people were just doing stuff this weekend. And I had some hate email that came in too saying, how come you haven't answered my email? And, you know, I guess I'm used to just working 7 days a week and responding to email whenever it kind of runs together. But every once in a while, it's good to have a couple of days off. But golly, 4 or 5 hours to get caught up on email is insane. So anyway, that's what's going on here. Again, don't forget, we've got the Mastodon chat server at geeknews.chat. We've got the Slack channel. All you got to do is send me an email if you want to be part of the Slack channel. And, of course, the Discord channel. That link is in the show notes. Join our Discord channel. But let's go ahead and get started with the first article up today. And this blew me away. When you see the video, you're going to applaud this teenager. He has solved a car blind spot issue using a webcam and a projector. So he noticed that his mom, as she was turning her head to look for blind spots, sometimes missed folks, and he was worried about bicyclists too. So what he did is he put a camera essentially on the roof pillar and then the window pillar that comes down from, like, you know, the standard pillar that comes down between the forward windshield and the passenger's window. He actually projected that onto the pillar. So it was just seamless. It was like you were almost looking through the pillar. And he thinks, or based on his test, that he could do this for all four pillars in a vehicle. So that if you turn your head to the left, and you look, you know, how you look for a car when you get ready to change a lane. By looking left, he feels that he could put that same image on the pillar behind you and he would seamlessly see through it. And basically all it is a projection. And when you see the video, it's pretty awesome. And for cyclists, you know, the blind spots caused by a car can be extremely dangerous. Many of us have, every driver has almost pulled into a lane, made a left-hand, from a right-hand lane to a left-hand lane change, and almost gotten whacked. There's not a driver alive that hasn't had a close one and someone come up beside you and flip you off, or, you know, because blind spots, when you know, it happens, and sometimes we get lazy and we don't look real good, or we look in the mirror, we don't think someone's there, and we start to move over, and they're in a blind spot. So this is pretty cool. Alania Gassler of West Grove came up with the idea, and she won a $25,000 prize for the Broadcom Master Science and Engineering Competition for middle schoolers. and her use of a fairly simple and affordable interior, the idea could eventually make its way into commercial vehicles as a standard safety feature. I think it could make it into regular cars. I really do. Now, it has to be a little bit more focused because there's a little bleed over. But for a middle schooler, what she did was truly amazing. And I encourage all of you to watch the video because you're gonna go, wow, brilliant. How come manufacturers haven't come up with that? So that's what's prompt you there, all right? Okay, so next up, Apple's decided to commit $2.5 billion to combat California housing crisis. So they think they've created a problem, and they've created a problem so big that people are leaving the Bay Area in droves. And this $2.5 billion plan is to help address the housing availability and affordability crisis in California. The funding commitment to California is expected takes approximately 2 years to be fully utilized. $2.5 billion is a lot. So they're going to give $1 billion for Affordable Housing Investment Fund. The billion commit makes to the state of California is a first of its kind. Our affordable housing fund that will provide the state and others with an open line of credit to develop and build additional new, very low to moderate income housing faster and at a lower cost. $1 billion will be put towards first-time homebuyer mortgage assistance fund. So working with the state, this first-time home buyer fund will provide aspiring homeowners with financing and down payment assistance. Apple and the state will explore strategies to increase access to first-time home ownership opportunities for essential service personnel, school employees, and veterans. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is going to be a grant or what. $300 million will be Apple-owned land will be made available for affordable housing. So Apple intends to make available land it owns in San Jose worth approximately $300 million for the development of new affordable housing. Then $150 million for Bay Area Housing Fund in a public-private partnership. Apple's launching a new $150 million affordable housing fund with partners including Housing Trust Silicon Valley to support new affordable housing projects and $50 million to support vulnerable populations. Apple donate $50 million to support destination home efforts to address homelessness in Silicon Valley. Apple focuses contribution on driving systematic change across many factors affecting homelessness, and Apple will also be identifying similar efforts in Northern and Southern California. Now, any of you that have ever even thought about moving to the Bay Area, just add another zero to how much you're making right now. You need 150, maybe even $200,000 a year to even afford to live in a decent place, and that you're not going to have to drive 3 hours, because that's what a lot of people do, to be able to find affordable housing. So we'll see. But what they're finding out, people are leaving in droves because they can't find affordable housing. This is essentially drying up the employment market. So they are really in a situation where they're trying to hedge their bets here and trying to keep people from leaving. But $2.5 billion is a huge amount of money. You know, if you think about it, maybe it's not. Maybe it won't go too far with the cost of everything in California at $1 million a pop or more. So anyway, we'll see what happens here with this. In other news, the Internet Archive is making Wikipedia more credible. And basically, the Internet Archive has announced it has transformed 130,000 reference books. Now listen to this. And the Internet Archive announced it has transformed 130,000 reference books in Wikipedia into live links for 50,000 digitized Internet Archive books and several Wikipedia language editions, including English, Greek, and Arabic. The result of this ongoing work to make Wikipedia a more credible because users will be able to source material in a single click. Students are often instructed not to use Wikipedia as a source in their research papers. Again, one reason for that is likely because some of the claims on typical Wikipedia pages lack links to source material. Sentences on Wikipedia lack sources are given a citation needed label that instantly helps users know that the sentence may not be accurate. Some teachers allow students to start with Wikipedia, but do not allow Wikipedia itself to be used as a source. For example, the Wikipedia article on Martin Luther King Jr. cites the book To Redeem the Soul of America by Adam Fairclough. That citation now links directly to page 299 inside the digital version of the book provided by Internet Archive. There are 66 cited and linked books on that article alone. So for research and for citing, it's critical, right? If you've ever took a college course or even some upper-level English classes in high school, you will know that you have to cite those references. And that's part of, going to school. So this, we'll see what happens with this and increasing the credibility of the Internet Archive. This next article should not come as a surprise. ISPs lied to Congress to spread confusion about encrypted DNS, Mozilla says. ISPs lying to Congress? No one lies in Congress. Congress themselves never lie to Americans, right? Congress never gives part of the facts, right? It's an epidemic in this country. We have a bunch of liars. We have partial stories. We have cherry picking of quotes. We never see the full context of anything anymore. That's why everything is so construed. This is why I don't watch the news. It's so much. I just have to tell you, please, if you haven't taken a month off from watching any news and reading any of this crap or listening to any of this crap, you will feel so much better. For those of you watching the show, do you like who's joined me on stage here? He was on the back shelf, but I moved him up. So anyway, getting back to this article. And oh, by the way, Leland says, and this is a reference to the truck stories. He says they're doing that on rear end of trucks with trailer packages now. So you can literally see through the boat behind you. You may have seen the commercial. So I have not. That's pretty cool. So it makes sense if you're a truck driver and you want to see that car that's 3 feet from your tailgate. Very, very cool. Anyway, so what Mozilla is saying, Mozilla is urging Congress to reject broadband industry's lobbying campaign against encrypted DNS. Now, why would ISPs not want us to encrypt our DNS? Domain name service. So when you type in Geek News Central, if you haven't changed anything on your computer or your router, what happens? It goes out to your ISP. It says, where does Geek News Central live? And basically, your ISP responds back with the IP address that's translated in the computer, and it takes you to Geek News Central through the routes and hops of the internet, brings up the website. It's very generic to you, okay? If you haven't changed anything on your computer and you type up, let's go to youporn.com, or let's go to alzheimerresearch.com, or you go to cigarcentral.com. And I know one of those websites exists. The other ones, I don't know. But if you go to a variety of websites, all of a sudden your internet service provider, who you've been using your DNS for, they know where you have went. They know your lookup data. They know your IP, that Todd's router's IP is such and such. It knows that where it's come from. It knows that I'm looking for this material. And guess what they can do with that material? They can sell it and make a lot of money. So DNS over HTTPS keeps eavesdroppers from seeing what DNS lookups your browser is making. Again, this can make it more difficult for ISPs or other third parties to monitor what websites you visit. You think about that. You thought Google knew where you went, right? No. Your ISP knows as well. Mozilla says, unsurprising, our work on DOH, DNS over HTTPS, has prompted a campaign to forestall these privacy and security protections, as demonstrated by the recent letter to Congress from major telecommunications associations. That letter contained a number of factual inaccuracies, Mozilla Senior Director of Trust and Security, Marshall Irwin, wrote. This part of Irwin's letter referred to as to an Ars article, Ars Technica article, in which we examine ISP's claim, which centered largely around Google plans for Chrome. The broadband industry claimed that Google plans to automatically switch Chrome users to its own DNS service. Great, if you like or trust Google. But that's not what Google says. Google's public announced plan is to check if the user's current DNS provider is among a list of DOH compatible providers. An upgrade to the equivalent of DOH service from the same provider, if the user selected DNS server is not on that list, Chrome would make no changes for that user. Mozilla actually isn't planning to switch Firefox users to a different DNS provider by default, specifically Cloudflare's encrypted DNS service, which I think is a good one. But ISPs are apparently less concerned about Firefox than Chrome because of Firefox's smaller market share. In addition to the broadband industry's letter to Congress, Comcast has been giving members of Congress a lobbying presentation that claims the encrypted DNS plan would centralize a majority of worldwide DNS data with Google and give one provider control of internet traffic routing and vast amounts of new data about consumers and competitors. Comcast and other ISPs are urging Congress to intervene. But a number of the arguments ISP made to lawmakers are premised on a plan that doesn't exist. The focus of lobbying has been on using Google as a boogeyman, giving a lot of the antitrust concerns exist today to drive a lot of uncertainty about the potential implications of DNS over HTTPS. Mozilla's letter to Congress said that ISP lobbying against encrypted DNS amounts to telecom associations explicitly arguing that ISPs need to be in a position to collect and monetize user data. This is inconsistent with arguments made just 2 years earlier regarding whether privacy rules were needed to govern ISP data use. Remember, that all died on the vine. Again, Mozilla was referring to the ISPs lobbying Congress to kill the broadband privacy rules in 2017. We talked about this on the show. The federal government's decision to eliminate privacy rules at the broadband industry's request meant that home and mobile internet providers are not prohibited from using customers' browsing histories to sell targeted ads, or from sharing customer browsing histories with third parties. Mozilla has cited ISP's history of abusing data. This goes on and on and on. And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't thought about this, you should. And if you're a listener of this show, you have. But this is a good reminder. We need to wake up. We need to remember who's tracking us and what data they're collecting us. You can do everything you can to secure your browser. You can put up malware stuff. You can turn off cookie tracking, all that stuff. But if you're not using a DOH, DNS over HTTPS, and using a provider that encrypts your request, your ISP is still going to know what you're doing. And this is probably true, you pick up a different DNS, your route to those servers may be a little different each time. So this is a good article. I read a quarter of it. So its link will be up in the show notes. I want you to check it out. Think about this as we're talking about privacy. You can put up an incognito window, but that still doesn't hide everything. Now, this one here made me smile a little bit. It reminds me of some stuff. Hackers, and Kirk missed this on the prep. I found this. It's okay, Kirk. You've done a great job. Hackers can use lasers to speak to your Amazon Echo or Google Home by sending laser-powered light commands to a smart assistant. Researchers could force it to unlock cars, open garage doors, and more. In the spring of last year, cybersecurity researcher Takeshi Sugawara, oh, his Japanese name Sugawara, walked into a lab of Kevin Fu, a professor he was visiting at the University of Michigan. He wanted to show off a strange trick he discovered. Sugawara pounded a high-powered laser at the microphone of his iPad. All inside of a black metal box to avoid burning or blinding anyone, and had Fu put on a pair of earbuds to listen to the sound the iPad's mic picked up. As Sugawara varied the laser's intensity over the time in the shape of a sine wave, fluctuating at about 1,000 times a second, Fu picked up a distinct high-pitched tone. The iPad's microphone inexplicably converted the laser signal into an electrical signal just as it would sound waves. So, 6 months later, they can now use lasers to silently speak to any computer that receives voice commands, including smartphones, Amazon Echo speakers, Google Homes, and Facebook Portal video chat devices. That spy trick let them send light commands from hundreds of feet away. They can open garages, make online purchases, and cause all manners of mischief or malevolence. The tech can easily pass through a window when the device owner isn't home to notice a telltale flash, a speck of light, or the target's device response. It is possible to make microphones respond to light as if it were sound. In months of experimentation that followed, the researchers found that when they pointed a laser at a microphone and changed intensity at precise frequencies, the light would somehow perturb the microphone's membrane at the same frequency. The positioning didn't need to be especially precise. In some cases, they simply flooded the device with light. Otherwise, they used a telephoto lens and geared a tripod to hit their mark. As a result, the microphone interpreted incoming light into a digital signal. Wow. And they have a video demonstrating this. They used a 60 milliwatt laser to speak commands to 16 different smartphones, and other voice-activated devices, and they found that almost all the smart speakers registered the commands from 164 feet away. That was the maximum distance they tested. Smartphones proved trickier. An iPhone was only susceptible to a range of around 33 feet, and two Android devices could be only controlled within around 16 feet. So, here's the deal. This is crazy. The potential havoc that could be raised from triggering a smart home controls like door locks or thermostats. It's the same threat model as any voice system, but with an unusual distance effect. You can hijack voice commands. Now the question is how powerful your voice is and what you've linked it to. A Google spokesperson told Wired in a statement that it was close to reviewing this research paper. Protecting your users is paramount, and we're always looking at ways to improve security of our devices. Apple declined to comment, and Facebook didn't immediately respond. An Amazon spokesperson wrote in a statement that we are reviewing this research and continue to engage with the authors to understand more about their work. Smart speakers like the Echo and Google Home have none of the voice authentication out there. So, what's next? Michigan, until those fixes or design changes arrive, a counterintuitive rule of thumb for anyone concerned by the attack's implication, don't put a voice activated device in light of sight of your adversary. So if you can see your Echo or Google Home through a window, they can talk to it. Hey, Kirk, how you doing? Can you imagine this? Think about this. Where does your smart home device reside in your house? And what do you have it tied to? What do you allow it to do? Do you allow it to unlock or lock your front door? Hmm. I'm thinking about where I have some of my smart home devices. They're getting moved. Someone could walk up to a commercial building, look between the window, and target the device. And depending on what you allow it to do, which I don't allow my stuff to do anything like that. But someone could order something, right? It's worse for people in security situations. Some of you have your home so wired that you're thinking a little bit now, aren't you? You have to be. So hackers can use lasers to speak to your smart home devices, your phones, and so forth. I know many of you don't care, will never be worried about it. But some of you just might be. Pretty provocative, isn't it? Love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your commentary. Tell me if I'm crazy, or do you think you're going to move your devices so that it cannot be seen through a window? Or are you going to wrap tinfoil around it? What's next? MIT and Ford MIT and Ford are helping delivery robots navigate to your doorstep. And these techniques doesn't require mapping areas in advance. They're trying to use some common sense. You have a driveway? Is it paved or concrete? Does it lead to the sidewalk that leads to your front door? Well, they're helping to train robots do this. So link will be up in the show notes. They're coming up with logarithms. I know some of you are going to have fun with me here. But anyway, MIT and Ford are working together to make those robots smarter. All right. Do you have a 5G phone yet? Well, Android Central has a list of every city in the United States with 5G coverage right now. So they cover all the providers, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T. I'm not going to go through these lists. If you want to look and see if your city is already covered, be welcome to it. And probably the coolest story that I found today that would have made the lineup, if all these other crazy stories wouldn't have, is that inside a Martian habitat factory in New York City and using 3D printing. Science is doing some cool stuff. It really is. They found a way to print Martian homes using Martian material that exists, you know, type of rock and stuff that exists here on Earth, that they can duplicate the testing process and not use water. And it's pretty remarkable what they've come up. 3D printing is changing the world, I'm telling you. And again, I'll have this link up in the show notes. They've got a video. It's really remarkable what they've come up with. A full 8-minute video. I watched the whole thing and pretty amazing. Lots of smart people out there doing crazy things. Just think where we're going to be in another 10 years or 20. I stopped using Outlook when I left the federal government. But Outlook for Mac gets a new design and a big performance improvements. Anyone still using Outlook? You know, I was forced to use Outlook for a little while recently. It actually used the online version. It still sucks. It really does. You get pretty spoiled with Gmail, even given all the concerns there. But anyway, lots of design changes and big performance and improvements to the new version for Mac. So definitely check that out. Link will be in the show notes for those of you that love Outlook. How many of you are still using it? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. All these articles are coming out now as we're getting close to the holidays. I always consider them a little bit suspect because it's the best external hard drives. And this one's by Engadget. And this particular post was done in partnership with Wirecutters, and these are supposedly independently chosen editorial picks, and also Engadget has disclosed they may earn an affiliate commission when you click on one of these drives, okay? So just be forewarned. At least they say that in the first sentence. That isn't often the case. So they got a list of external hard drives here. Let me look through. Is there a list? It's usual suspects. Seagate, HP, or Western Digital, Samsung portable SSDs, which I have an affinity for, even has a little bit of RAID discussion. The Synology, I'm a big Synology fan. They talk about the disk station DS218, and again, Synology has I've been using Synology NAS drives for a while, and this everything from this show and my life is basically backed up on a Synology drive along with the cloud. So, and then they've got these great new flash drives. An example, the 64 gig Kingston Data Traveler. I've got one that's a 256 gig, and this thing is wonderful. I've used it for a number of years. So anyway, link will be in the show notes. Remember, if you click on those, you're going to be giving Engadget some money. I should have all those links on Geek News Central. You could go buy them from me. Hey, Sprint posts another quarterly loss as T-Mobile merger remains on hold. So, yeah, they just keep burning money. Total revenue for the quarter came in at $7.8 billion, lower than $8.17 billion they expected. And how much money did they lose? Does it say? Net loss of $274 million for the quarter. So they just continue to burn money as this merger continues to drag on and on and on and on. So maybe nothing left to Sprint before it's all over. Folks at Lifehacker have a story on how to automatically delete your Google data and why you should. And I do this periodically. I delete the web and app history. I delete the location data. I delete YouTube searches. Again, Google Maps, GPS location. You should, if you're not looking at that, go look at your history. If you've got this turned on, and they sneak up on you, and every app asks, can I take your location data? Can I take your location data? And, you know, I turn this stuff off, and then, you know, 2 months later, I'm looking like, man, they're collecting data again because somewhere I said yes to something that turned something on. You can delete all that. So the folks at Lifehacker have instructions on how to automatically delete your Google data. And again, this is good to do. This is a good thing to clear your data from time to time. The location data shows everything. It shows you where you went to lunch, where you drove to, where you flew to, everything. Dropbox launches its file transfer service for all. Now, parts of this has been available. So the cloud storage giant unveiled Dropbox transfer back in July. But it's been rolled out to everyone. And this could be useful delivering a finished project, such as a video or a contract. And using Dropbox transfer, the sender can access key stats, such as how often a link has been clicked or how many times it's been downloaded. You can choose who it's specifically going to go to, set passwords for security and so forth. Mike Dell and I, when we're doing all our audio recording, we have a Dropbox box that are both of us have access to, and we use it. We do that way. I drop stuff in, he drops stuff in, I pull stuff out. It's kind of like a working for virtual because we're doing a lot of, you know, we're not in the same place. So anyway, that link's up in the show notes for you to check out. Google Play, yes, you've had Android phone, is giving points and rewards for you downloading apps that you pay for. So the company wants to entice you to download more paid apps. This launched in Japan last year, and Google is bringing its Play Store rewards program to the United States starting this week. You'll be able to enroll in Google Play points, allowing you to earn rewards by using the company's digital marketplace. So with each dollar spent, you move closer to a higher rewards tier. And there are four tiers in total. Each one comes with additional perks. So definitely check that out if you're a Droid user. Twitter's banned accounts related to Hamas and Hezbollah. And this happened over the weekend. We know that other folks have already done this. but the move represents a reversal from Twitter's previous position on the two organizations. The past company has said that it differentiated between the political and military arms of Hamas and Hezbollah, a stance that put Twitter at odds with other tech companies, including Facebook and Google, and effectively allowed groups to continue using the platform. The company has yet to issue a statement on the takedown, though navigating to those accounts show they violated Twitter's terms of service. Twitter has not responded. It's likely that Twitter suspended the accounts due to mounting pressure from lawmakers. In September, a bipartisan group of U.S. House members sent the company, as well as Facebook and Google, a letter asking to provide a timeline for when to remove Hamas and Hezbollah-related content from Twitter. Of course, the State Department considers both groups as foreign terrorist organizations. So, this goes back as far as 2016 when they received some criticism for that. Facebook's got a new logo, and it just cracks me up. For those of you watching, you're going to see that it changed colors. It goes from blue to red to green to light, oh, to blue again. A little bit of orange in there, too. It's a new logo that revolves around a color. This is how Facebook, the company, not Facebook, the website you go to and do social stuff on, this is how they're going to represent the parent company. Why didn't they just come up with something like Alphabet? So anyway, this new logo is meant to represent the parent company that owns Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and more. The logo just says Facebook with a revolving color tone. I wonder how much they paid someone to come up with that. Robot bees, yes, flying bees, can crash into walls without taking damage. And the Harvard Microrobotic Lab has, all I'm going to say about this article is just watch the video. It's pretty entertaining. It comes with a very cool soundtrack as well. And you'll see these little micro drones, as they are called, very, very tiny ones, fly and crash into each other and not sustain damage. They're so small that they've come up with ways to make them flexible and soft muscle, they're calling, prevents the bots from taking a bruising. So that link will be up in the show notes. Kind of a cool little video to watch. Uber has announced their results for the third quarter, and I didn't even pre-read this here. They had a revenue of $3.8 billion with growth accelerating 30% year over year on 31% on a constant currency basis. Let's see how much money did they lose. Adjusted net revenue, net loss attributed to Uber Technologies of $1.2 billion. So let me read this again. Adjusted net revenue. Yeah, so they lost money. What was the loss again? 2019. 28%. Looks like a 28% loss. Anyway, they wrote this up a little strange. They weren't real clear, but yes, they're spending more money than they're making. Net loss attributed to Uber Technologies Inc. of $1.2 billion, which includes $401 million in stock-based compensation expenses, improved quarter over quarter in part due to a revenue growth of $647 million. Adjusted EBITDA of $585 million. Negative unrestricted cash and equivalents were $12.7 billion, which was up $0.9 billion from the second quarter, primarily due to the sale of $1.2 billion of senior unsecured notes and the closing of a $1 billion investment in ATG. So anyway, burning cash. Microsoft's Chromium Edge browser arrives January 15th. So they've had a beta test on this since September, and they're going to launch a browser on January 15th. Over the weekend, the company also revealed a new pinwheel-like Edge logo, which looks like an offshoot of the Chrome logo. You can test out the near final release candidate today, and it should be pretty stable. So are any of you using the Chromium Edge browser? Love to hear from you if you are. Fire me some feedback. SpaceX has completed crucial test of its Crew Dragon parachutes, and they've done 13 drops. So its latest Mark III Crew Dragon parachutes will work even if things don't quite right On Twitter, the company showed off a short video clip of a payload landing with only 3 of the 4 parachutes deployed and said it successfully tested the system 13 times in a row. And they said that they wanted to get to 10 successful tests before launching astronauts. So they're pretty happy with this, and they're going to do a full mock-up minus astronauts on a full-blown rocket, Falcon 7. They're going to sometime in the first quarter, and they're going to test the whole stack. They're going to use the emergency escape jets, and they're going to abort a mission. So it's going to happen in Q1. That should be an exciting video to watch. It really, really should. I wonder what's going to happen to the Falcon 7. Folks, Engadget again have another article about the best workout headphones, and the list is there. I'll have that up in the show notes. Again, use with caution. Adobe is bringing Photoshop tricks directly to your smartphone camera. Photoshop camera can automatically retouch shots with it and add whiskable filters. And they've showed off a review of this new app called Photoshop Camera. At its Adobe Max conference, it brings Photoshop editing tricks and AI directly to your smartphone. Like most camera apps, you can use it to capture, edit, and share photos on social networks. However, it also brings powerful Photoshop-grade tools. Adobe seems to mainly pushing this app to influencers and social media users rather than pro photographers. For starters, Adobe said that it uses its Sensei AI to recognize the subject in a photo and give recommendations and automatically apply the best adjustment for a given shot. We need that right here for me. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. Microsoft has a new Office app for iOS and Android. It combines Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So again, this link will be up. You can check it out, see what it looks like. Do you guys use this on your phone? I've been forced to use, I haven't. I don't use Outlook even on the, I don't use Word, Excel, or PowerPoint on my phone. I do use it. I do use PowerPoint heavily on my computer and tablet. Anyway, again, if you're a Microsoft user and using Office products, that'll be up. Google's assistant-friendly Nest Wi-Fi router is now available. Extend your network and fill your home with voice controls. It's amazing when you have a 2,000 square foot loft and there's no walls or nothing. The signal at the other end of the building is as strong as it is next to the router. It's pretty awesome. But if you have a lot of walls, a lot of stuff going on, bigger house, you can get a 3-pack for $349. And you can buy further points for $149. And Nest Wi-Fi has its share of limitations. You won't find a wide array of Ethernet ports. It's not going to deliver Wi-Fi 6 speeds. Of course, you're making a deep investment in Google's ecosystem. And you might be better off with Eero hardware if you're an Alexa fan, or if you're building a smart home from scratch, this could give you the foundation you need without having to buy separate networking gear and speakers. But again, be aware, lasers can talk to these devices. Over at Mac Rumors, people are not happy about mounting complaints about iOS 13.2 being more aggressive at killing background apps and tasks. So a growing number of iPhone and iPad users have complained about poor RAM management, leading to apps like Safari, YouTube, and Overcast reloading more frequently upon being reopened. And people have been very, very vocal, saying some very nasty things. And the Mac Rumors actually had to do some light editing on some of the comments because people were so pissed. If you've seen this, love to hear from you as well. I don't think we've had any email come in. No one loves me anymore. So I did get a text from Michael Dare. Let's see if I can find it. He'd sent me, where did it go? I might have to actually look at my phone. Anyway, that's going to bring me to an end here today, folks. Not bad for time. And I want to thank you all for being here. Don't forget about considering becoming an insider, KeatonCentral.com/insider. You can support this show at a lofty 6.7 cents a day to start out at $2 a month. Or you can really go large and come in at the big donor level of $25 a month. And remember, self-accounting is responsible. Once you reach $1,000 in donations to the show, I need to hear from you so that we can add you to our lofty list of $1,000 donors. If you want to become an instant $1,000 donator, you can do that as well right on the page at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Just hit that right up in PayPal and write in $1,000 and you are a winner, winner, chicken dinner. But no, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 or an individual donation is greatly appreciated. They are not tax deductible. I am not a nonprofit. This is a for-profit operation here. So I do pay taxes on every donation you make. I do appreciate them, those as well, though. Any donation is better than no donation. Again, don't forget about our sponsor. I want to thank, again, GoDaddy for continuing to be a sponsor of the show here. And I want to thank you for your ongoing support. For those of you that are insiders and those of you who have added yourself as an insider donator, definitely appreciate it. Again, your comments today, easy peasy. All you got to do is email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, and let me know what you think about the show, what we're doing. I think the last couple of shows have been pretty good. It's been dialed in. And if you have a prop you want to donate and make an appearance on the show, we can do that as well. So props are always welcome from our wall back here, stuff that we can put on the wall. If you've got something, you can also send your prop donations to the address that's in the show notes. It's been my pleasure to bring you the podcast. I want to thank you for being here. I'll be back with you on Thursday. Again, we're getting started now about 7:15, 7:30 Eastern. So that's a good time to pop in. I'm not starting at 8 typically anymore. It depends on where Kirk gets me the stuff, and I need about 45 minutes after he sends it to me. But anyway, that's where we kind of lay from time-wise. Everything stayed online tonight, which is beautiful. I reset the router today, which was nice as well. But everything stayed up and no hiccups. Okay, everyone, thanks for your time. Thanks for your listening. And thanks for your diligence and listening to the show. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.